playoffs. I knew we didn't want to lose these guys. So, you know, we're just going to have to manage it, kind of earn our money in that regard and try to fit as many players as we possibly can into it.
Howie, when you got back in the personnel side and everything, I mean, you obviously went around and signed five guys to a long-term deal. Like, how much of a priority was that? I mean, it seemed like it was something you guys kind of got away from the last couple of years.
I think it was more sitting down with our coaching staff, having them evaluate our roster, sitting down with our personnel staff, and realizing we never wanted these guys to leave the building. And so for us, why not start as quickly as possible, you know, send a strong message to them, to the rest of our team, about how we felt about them and kind of go forward. And it's interesting because we talk about free agency and we've signed five guys already, and I think Derek gave me the numbers. I think the 31 other teams combined haven't signed that many guys that are kind of at that level. And so I think it's a great testament to the players in terms of their wanting to be in Philadelphia, and really a great tribute to our owner for being able to step up here and give us the resources to go out and sign those guys.
How you got like Sam Bradford, generally do you want to get those players signed before they hit free agency, or is there sometimes a benefit to letting them test the market?
Well, I think that where you know where you stand, and especially with our situation now, and you're able to go into free agency and get a position taken care of and then know where you can put the rest of your resources, it's helpful. You know, at the same time, the deal has got to work for everyone. So it's got to work for him. It's got to work for us. But, you know, the more things you can do before the market opens, the better situated you are.
How do you look at the Jenkins deal? This is very often the guy in his third deal is getting significantly more than he got in a second deal. Did you have any kind of reservations because of that?
Well, he's going to be 28. I think he turns 29 in December of this year. So he's really a 28-year-old player. I mean, you talk about how hard it is to find safeties and how hard it is to find guys who can be playmakers, who can really change games from that position. And then you add in the leadership, and it was a no-brainer from our perspective to try to keep him here and make him a Philadelphia Eagle. And you know what, Jeff, on the other part about that, he had signed a shorter free agent contract than most free agents had signed. So when you look at it, most guys, when they hit the free agent market, are signing 5-6 year deals, and he'd signed a 3-year deal.
I forget if you were asked this inside, but are you guys not using the franchise tag on Bradford? Have you decided on that?
Yeah, we haven't really had made any final decision on any negotiations with anyone. You know, for us, we're keeping all of our options open, obviously. Our cap space becomes a factor into anything that we do, and to building the team around everyone factors into everything we do. So, you know, I don't want to get into any specifics about anything, but I think for us, we got to build the team, and we got to add players, and we'd like to add more than one player this offseason.
Do you see a big free agent push? I know you've spoken before about the top end of free agency often not being a great way to spend money. How are you looking at it this year?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the benefits to this year, for me, one of the many benefits to this year, was getting some perspective and being able to see what we had done, what I had done, and what other teams had done. And I think that goes into making sure that you take care of your own, sign the guys that you know, that you're familiar with, and the history of being really aggressive in free agency. So, you know, there are spots that you have to take every opportunity to improve your team, free agency, trades, but at the end of the day, your draft picks are the guys that you really want to sign to your second contracts and kind of go from there.
Now, you have $16.5 million devoted to the running back position.
You pointed at me specifically. I have $16.5
million. Well, actually, it's not you or Chip.
Right?
Yeah, no, somebody else signed it.
Philadelphia is we, right?
Okay, so my point is, and then all three are going to be 28 or older. I don't think you've ever had that much money devoted to that position. Is that something that you're comfortable with? And do you foresee, you know, we've heard about DeMarco, some sort of stalemate that you guys are going to hit at some point. Is he going to have to rework his deal?
Well, I think at every position you're trying to balance the present and the future, and you don't want to go into any offseason with a bare position because all of a sudden you have to get rid of everyone at the same time. So whatever that position is, you have to have some strike a balance between veterans and young players coming through. And as we look at it, that's going to be not just that position, but everywhere we look, we want to make sure that everyone's not coming up at the same time in free agency and that our positions are well covered in case we lose guys going forward.
And the DeMarco part,
I didn't hear your question on DeMarco.
DeMarco Murray, I mean, is he going to have to rework his deal? Do you foresee something like that having to happen?
Yeah, we haven't had any of those conversations. All our conversations with DeMarco have been positive about, you know, how much he wants to be in Philadelphia. But, you know, I can't say I haven't seen the reports that, you know, maybe one of you guys put out there.
We'll take a couple more, and then we got a jet.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
the scouts on their chip, it was very specific what they were looking for. Is there a directive coming from Doug, coming from you, to know exactly what you're looking for, prototypes or anything of that nature?
Yeah, we met with, we had all our scouts when they came in, meet with our coaching staff and go through position by position, what were the traits they were looking for, you know, what were the deal breakers for them, which is important. And so we were able to have them articulate, we were able to ask questions back about would this be a deal breaker. And you know, some of us have been very fortunate because a lot of things Jim is saying were a lot of things that we learned with Andy Reid and Jim Johnson and kind of the system they're looking for. So it's been a good transition for that. You know, I think you guys have heard a lot about fastballs, rushing the passer, and that's how Jim talks. So a lot of it has been kind of a transition back to things that for some of us we grew up on.
From last year to this year, how much, I guess, how drastic are the differences between the types of players we're looking for?
Well, we were running on defense, a 2-gap 3-4, and now we're a 4-3, which an emphasis on speed and rushing the passer. So I think that there are differences. But when we drafted a bunch of these players, we drafted them to be flexible in each scheme. And I look at the 2012 draft and where we were, and Andy had said at that time, you know, I want to be flexible. I want to have guys that can play in a 3-4, that can play in a 4-3. I want to be multiple. And so when we drafted Fletch, when we drafted Michael, when we drafted Vinny, to name a few guys, you know, we did that with knowing in mind there was a chance we changed games, and now we change back.
How much do you think the emergence of Jordan Hicks had to do with, you know, the decision to let D'Amico go and everything? I mean,
it's a big part of it. There's no question about it. You know, if you're going to let guys go, you better have replacements in place. You know, it's hard to find good players in this league, and certainly D'Amico's been a good player for us. So I think that's part of what we do when we let players go, is that it's hard to let players go, it's hard to let leaders go, but you better have a guy in place and not just hope to get a guy in free agency or the draft.
Bradford not resigned strictly for financial reasons, are you guys still evaluating other options in terms of deciding if he's the best player for you next season?
Well, I think it's a complicated question when you look at the quarterback depth chart. I mean, if you come into our building and you look at our depth chart, we don't have a lot of names on it. You know, it's just the reality of the situation. It's not like we're sitting here and we got four guys on our depth chart and we're taking four to camp. So we have to evaluate every level of the quarterback position. We got to do starters. We got to do backups. We got to do third string. You know, and for us, we got to look at every possible option to improve our team. So the reality of it is that if you guys hear a lot of names, it's probably true. We're probably exploring everything we can, because that's an important position, and we got to make sure that it's our obligation to make sure that we're looking at every avenue to improve our team at that position at every spot on the depth chart.